Are you a woman in corporate and you just want to know how you can really go after your worth, what you should be getting paid, how you should be getting paid, what job you should be taking, all of that great stuff, then this is the episode for you, because I had the amazing Sasha here. She's been a recruiter for decades and she really loves helping women ask for what they're worth and step into what they really want to do, a job or a corporate career that aligns with their calling. I think you're going to love this. What up, y'all? This is Nina Perez, and this is Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. I am so excited you're here. You guys are amazing. Make sure you like, share, subscribe, all that great stuff. Leave comments. You know the drill. Just do it, all right? And make sure you put that little bell notification on so you don't miss a thing, because everybody who has been commenting and leaving me messages and all that great stuff, I appreciate you guys so much. And I know that you guys are getting a lot out of this because you're telling me you are. And another great thing about this show is that a lot of my guests who come, they're all experts in their field. And I have been having some of you listeners actually working with some of my guests. And that makes me super proud of what I am building here. And today I have somebody special for y'all. Okay. Her name is Sasha. She is a transformational career coach and former corporate HR leader. And she's on a mission, y'all, to help ambitious women shatter self-doubt, negotiate their worth, and boldly step into their careers. Now, this is something I have been, and I want to talk to you about this in a second though, Sasha, because I have a little bit of a, of a thing with this, okay? With more than 13 years in HR and recruiting, plus a master in HR development, Sasha blends strategic know-how with intuitive insight for a no BS approach that sparks real change. Now, as the creator of the Corporate Glow Up, she's empowering women everywhere to step into their full potential. No apologies needed, y'all. So let's dive in. So
that's right.
Sasha, I want to get to know you, and then I want to tell you how I feel about certain things. And I want you to either like correct me or put me in the right direction or whatever. But let's start here. Who is Sasha? Who is Sasha?
Well, so, you know, it's funny. I used to get so nervous when people used to ask me this, but, you know, Sasha is a, you know, a warrior, a survivor, someone that has taken a long time to understand what her gifts are and is now ready, willing, and able to share those gifts with the world and make sure that women, don't make the same mistakes that I've done, but also grow and, you know, thrive in corporate America, right? Without like overworking, without burnout. We can go into detail, but you know, that's me in a nutshell.
We are going to go into detail. Okay. So tell me a little bit about why, like, why are you even doing this? Right. Because obviously you must have been in corporate America and you got burnt out, like something happened. So I want to know a little bit more about your journey.
Yeah. So, I, 5 years ago, I was married. And I was in a relationship that it was a very difficult and contentious relationship, and I didn't feel comfortable in my skin. I never felt like I was worthy enough to accomplish, or I didn't feel like I, you know, it came from some childhood stuff that we can also get into, but in 2020, summer of 2020, I decided to file for divorce, and I freed myself from, you know, a lot. I don't want to speak too badly about my ex-husband because I do respect him as a dad, but it was a very tough marriage. And so as I filed for divorce, I realized, wait a minute, I'm going to be a single mom of two children.
I was there.
I don't make the money that I want to make. You know, I am alone now. How, like, it's now or never. Now it's the time to kind of step up and go after things that I was afraid of going through before.
Yeah.
Then boom, fast forward, I end up, you know, I was actually unemployed during the time that I was divorced. And then I end up getting a recruiter job. a job that I was afraid of applying to when I was married, because everyone kept telling me, or maybe it was just my own limiting beliefs, that no one was going to, you know, hire me for that because I wasn't qualified. Things I've heard in corporate,
right?
Of course. Mm-hmm. And throughout the entire job, like I was there for about a year and a half, I met so many women that I realized, I was like, wait a minute, I'm not alone. I'm not the only person that doubts herself, right? Like every time I asked a woman, well, like, what are you looking to make? What is your magic number? What would you like to make for this role? They would buckle, they would get nervous, they would back out of it. They would, you know, and I built very good relationships with my candidates. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I gave them space to talk and to build a relationship with me on a, you know, I like to have conversations, not interrogate or interview, if you will.
Right.
So they've shared a lot of things about, you know, I just don't want to price myself out. I just don't feel confident. What if they, you know, they had all these limiting beliefs, and I had to, consistently coach women on, you know, how to walk into an interview room and command the respect, right? Command, like, you know, I am someone that you should talk to, you want to talk to, you want to hire in your company. Right.
So,
as I'm doing all this, Nina, I'm realizing that it's like, you know what they say, doctors are the worst patients.
Yeah. And it's true.
As I'm talking to these women, it's almost like I'm talking to myself, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. I'm telling myself and empowering myself. And that makes me tear up a little bit. But yeah, it was a year where I found myself. I really did. I found myself away from, you know, Sasha the wife and Sasha the, you know, working mom. And, you know, and I was like, you know what, Sasha, the purpose-driven warrior that fights for women, right? And fights to make sure that we close the gender gap and fights so that women can feel comfortable in their own skin and in corporate.
Yeah.
And, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
You know, I realized that, you know, there was a lot of work to be done,
mm-hmm,
when it comes, mm-hmm, to women and their social conditioning and their limiting beliefs. And I'm working on dismantling as much of that as possible.
And it's necessary. It's necessary and it's needed. I worked in corporate as well. And once I started to realize that, wait a minute, I'm interviewing you too. Like, I don't know if I want to work for you. You know, and I started to step into my greatness too. And I started to realize, you know why, and this is where I want you to push me back if you need to, or if you agree. I feel like, you know, for instance, I was speaking to someone, she makes about, I think she makes like $250 a year, right? And she was talking about how, Latina women, or, you know, because she's Latina women and people of color, they don't have no money, but, and now she's making $250 a year. Okay. Mm-hmm. So stay with me. Right. Mm-hmm. And I'm listening, mm-hmm, to this, right. I'm listening. And I'm like, when is this victim mentality stuff going to stop? You know? And she's like, excuse me. I was like, so women, you're earning $250. You're earning $250. Okay, so you have a $1.5 million house. You're earning about $250,000 a year. Yeah, you're telling other Latina women that they are oppressed and that they can't do this. I have a problem with that, Sasha, right? Because for me, I feel like we all have the ability to rise above our circumstances and push forward. Now, do we need help and guidance? Yes, this is why you exist, because you are helping women break that. But women, mm-hmm, need to start breaking that. Because when I was in corporate, and I had a guy that was working, he was making more than me. You don't think I knocked on that door? We need to talk. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like, how is it that this and then that this? And they were like, oh. And I was like, I'm giving you a year. If by next year I don't see that my abilities aren't matched with what I am requesting, I'm just letting you know that I cannot continue. And they were like, whoa, slow down. You know what I'm saying? But here's the thing. Why? Because women need to step up to their worth. They know they are so worth their weight in gold. And for us to keep saying there's a big gender gap, and I agree, and there's a big pay gap, I agree, but a lot of it is our fault.
Exactly.
Because we bring a lot to the table. And because exactly. we get in our own freaking way, like I, and this is the great thing about being in HR like you were, or me being a director, men had zero issues asking for what they needed.
I zero. Did. Yep.
Now, when yep. a woman yep. does it, she's a bitch or she's aggressive or she's whatever. When a man does it, it's expected. Women, step into who you are. That's how I feel about
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
So I just exactly. want to know if you agree, disagree, punch no. me in the face, like what you want to say.
I absolutely agree. It's funny because I was talking about personal accountability the other day with one of my good friends.
I and love I that. Said, listen, love that.
Listen, I don't know if you probably know this about me, or I probably told you, but I grew up in the Bronx, like, you know, right. Latina, single mother, three girls, like, you know, I grew up in the hood, okay? Like, I grew yeah, up on same. Fordham in the Bronx, same. If you guys know about that. So I saw how much my mom struggled, and I said to myself, I don't want this for me. Right. I don't want this for me.
Same.
So at 14 years old, I got my first job behind my mother's back. And I said to myself, you know, this is for my unborn children. Right? I'm going to make sure that, you know, my children's story is not the same as my story. Mm-hmm. And so there were so many things. I grew up in an environment where we were taught that anybody outside was like wicked and evil mm-hmm. and like, you know, a lot of racial stuff. And yes, racism mm-hmm. exists, but like, I had to push past that. If I allowed like any of those things getting my way or kind of sit me down, I would have never been able to reach where I am today.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like
yes.
I had to push past all of that, and I had to open my mouth and say, this is what I want. This is what I can do for you. Mm-hmm. This is what, you know, what this means to me. And this is how we can make sure that I will be a loyal employee and make sure that the work gets done. Right.
Right.
But if I don't speak, if I don't speak up, or if I don't say anything, and here's another thing, Nina, that I tell women, don't ever put yourself in a position where you are negotiating from a place of survival.
Yeah. Scarcity, girl. Say
exactly.
It.
Make yes. sure you are always in the position to negotiate from a place of strength.
Yes.
Right. If you, you know, are not like, for example, when I was, you know, married or when I was, you know, in a divorce, it was easier for me to just make, like certain, decisions, like, as far as like, you know, I was able to be picky about the jobs that I was very clear on what I wanted. I knew this is what right. I needed. This is what the role has to do for me. Right. This is why I always made sure that even when I was happy in a role, I was always talking to people and always talking to recruiters. What happens Good. Is people end up talking to recruiters when they hate their job and they need to get the heck out, when their bosses are like, you know, giving them a kind of like hints that we're trying to get you out of here, right? That's when they start looking and they're rushing. And at that point, they have to get a little desperate.
Yes, yes. Good advice, yeah.
So I always say, make sure you're always talking, always be talking, always have conversations. Whenever that recruiter gets in your DM, have a conversation with them. Go out to networking events, you know what I mean? Don't let this job keep you away from your dream job, for you, what you really want to do, right? It's funny because I always have, I always joke with people and I say like job hunting or career is very much like dating in today's modern world. Mm. Like, you know how they say like, don't let that man take you to the Cheesecake Factory and blah, blah, blah. You know, don't let that man take, I say it all the time, don't let that job, you know, take away what you really want. Don't yeah. let them tell you what you're worth.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You have to speak and say, this is what I'm coming in with. This is what I'm going to do for you. This is what I need for that. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So what do you think is the biggest mindset shift that they need to be making before they can truly like own their ambition? Right. Cause you talked about like what they really want, what their ambition is, what they want. Right. So what they want to bring to the company or have the company bring to them. What do you think is that biggest mindset shift that they need to be making?
There's a few of them. But the number one thing is I would love it if women can start seeing switching their currency from money to time. Mm-hmm. And here's why I say this, because we are willing to be the first people into the office and the last people to leave. We are willing to perform and overwork yes. ourselves.
I
and,
did it, so I know it's true.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I did. I was the same. It was the same for mm-hmm. me. You know, mm-hmm. I was getting paid salaried most of my career, but I was consistently giving 50, 60 hours a week.
Yep, same. Yep.
You know what I mean? But the result was the same. Whether or not I worked 40 hours or 50, 60 hours, I still got passed up for promotions. So mm-hmm. we need to be a little bit more like, you know, stingy with our time. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to make sure that we my time is worth, my time is gold, right? This is what I tell people. We are more likely to make $1 million in one lifetime than we are likely to reach 100 years old.
Right, right,
but with
right.
that in mind, like, you know, time is short. We don't have time to sit and give it to a corporate job that, you know, especially if it doesn't produce the results that we wanted to mm-hmm, produce, mm-hmm. right? If you're in a job, a dead-end job, you're in a job that, consistently you're overworking, you're constantly thinking about, oh my God, I miss my kids' events again. You know, I'm struggling, living paycheck to paycheck and nothing to show for it. I can go on vacation, but I'm working 50, 60 hours a week, right?
Right. Makes no sense, girl.
We need to be yeah. a little bit more, we don't need to perform in order to show our worth. Our worth yes. is what we say it is and what we embody. And no amount of accolades or degrees or anything like that, increases our worth. Our worth is what we say it is. And so we need to be okay with that, accept it and say, this is what I need, right? Mm-hmm. To ourselves too. It's, a lot of it is boundary setting for yourself, giving yourself boundaries, right? Saying yeah. I am not going to work past 5 o'clock again today. You know,
yeah.
things like that.
Yeah. And it's like also taking away that guilt, ladies, like all of you who are listening, even mm-hmm. some guys too. But I noticed that for me, it was like if my boss was there late, like I felt like I had to stay late too. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, and it's like, why? I already did all my work and did it to like it at the highest performance. Why am I still here? And that's the other thing too, is making sure you're working with integrity. Like if you're going to do your job with integrity, do it to the fullest extent for that day.
Yeah.
And then go home, enjoy your family. And I think that most of us just don't know how to set the lines, how to negotiate that, right? Because many women are struggling with salary, promotions, how to negotiate that, where to start. So let's start giving some of these listeners some tools. Like what's the first step you think these listeners should take away today to feel like more confident in advocating for themselves? Like you said, know what you want first, right? And then how do we negotiate that and advocate for ourselves?
One, the first thing I tell people to do is get clear on what you want, first of all, because right. a lot of people are applying to jobs and they can't really tell, they're so desperate for a job, they can't even tell you what they truly want.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So definitely sit down. I journal a lot. I have, I talk with I said, what is it that I need in order to be happy? You know how they say, just again, going back to the dating in today's world, you know how they say, sit down and talk about your non-negotiables about a man? Do the same thing about a job. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you need to pick up your kids at 2:45, like myself, at 2:45 every single day, right? And you need flexibility, then you need to start seeking jobs that have that. And when you go into an interview, you ask the questions to see if, you know, don't go in there like, you know, just telling them about yourself. As I always say, like, don't go in there as an employee, go in there as a strategic partner, right? Because a strategic partner is a two-way street.
Right. Like,
interview the company as well. Interview mm-hmm. them as well. Figure out. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, you know, definitely put your non-negotiables down. You need flexibility. I need this amount of money. Another thing is like, we're not, this is why I like to partner with finance, my women in finance, because, you know, I don't know if it's girl math or what, but like, we need to sit down and really put pen to paper as to what makes sense for us.
Right.
Because to me, if you're working 50, 60 hours a week and you, you know, you're getting paid, let's say 50K, but your expenses are 80K, you're going to have to work 50, 60 hours a week and then have two side hustles in order to be able to do that.
Yeah.
So definitely sit down, get clear, get your non-negotiables first, right? Because that way you're able to speak to, like, you know, there's no wavering, you know, well, this is actually what I need. I need to have this, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Another thing too is definitely what I like to do, and the exercise I like to do with my clients and candidates I have in the past, is sit down and write all your limiting beliefs down, right? Like, anything that starts with "I can't," "I won't be able to," "it's not possible." Anything, like, say things out loud to yourself, and if there's any of those phrases in there that kind of, it's almost like it's not forward thinking, or write it down for yourself and reframe it, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So yep. That this way, for me, a lot of it is, like I said, it's mostly, you know, mindset. I have women that when I tell them I'm in HR and recruiting, they're like, "Oh, do you think you can look at my resume?" I said, "Sure, I can look at your resume. But the thing is, you know, I can build you an award-winning resume. But if you step into an interview room and you can't really speak to who you are, you can't sell yourself, that resume is not going to be worth anything."
Exactly. Yeah, because people can make any resume sound and look amazing, right?
Exactly.
And you have like this really great, you know, forward, you know, bold way of doing your strategies. So, you know, saying that right now. So let's say that there is a woman listening to us right now, right? And she really needs to know, how do I actually do this? Can you share a moment with us where maybe you did this yourself, or led a client into doing this, where she used this like no BS mindset and that it propelled them forward? Do you have a case study or yourself?
I mean, yeah. Myself, but let me talk about one of my, because she's one of, I bring this story up all the time. I don't want to say her name because, you know.
No, of course not. Of course.
But this woman, she was working at Johns Hopkins as a clinical research coordinator. And at the time I was a clinical research recruiter and I was looking for clinical trial managers or clinical project managers, right?
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
So, you know, she's telling me about her experience at Johns Hopkins, and I knew it was going to be very hard for me to hire her because she has site experience. So like if you're in clinical research, you would know what I'm talking about. So I'm going to try to simplify this as much as possible. But the environment that she was working in was not at the level of the environment that I was hiring in. I was considering her.
Got
into,
it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like I worked at a CRO. I worked at an environment where they look down on those environments, on like, you know, the Johns Hopkins or the academia or the hospitals. But, you know, they felt that at the site level, they just didn't do the type of work or the amount or the level of work that they needed. Right. So, of course, she comes in and she's already very like, because of this, she knows this because she's interviewed many times before at a CRO and they've all told her no, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so she's already like very, I can tell like I had to kind of like ease her into the conversation. I was like, okay, well, don't be shy. Talk to me. I want to get to know you. And she's like, you know, she opened up. And when I asked her, I was like, how much are you looking to make? She said something like, I'm going to say the number, but she said something like, well, I think I'll be okay with like, you know, 80,000, you know? And let me tell you something. I know how much these roles get paid. Like, you know, at a minimum, at a CRO, at a minimum, you're starting at 100K. But I was giving offers upwards of 140. So I said, well, I'm going to be honest. I'm not going to tell the hiring manager that. I'm going to, you know, that's kind of like, I'm a girl's girl. I said, I'm not going to tell the hiring manager that. I think
your coach came out, huh?
Yeah. The coach came out. I said, listen, I had to take the recruiter hat off. I said, listen, you know, this role pays like a minimum of 100K. I won't feel good telling, you know, the hiring manager that this is what you're looking for. Come to find out, she actually, because we built a really good relationship, she was telling me I was making like, you know, 70, 75K. But for her, she knew what it was paying, but because she was at a site level, she was kind of like, you know,
she felt inadequate.
Inadequate, and she felt like if she asked for more, she was going to look greedy, or like, well, you should just be grateful with, you know, whatever we give you,
because right.
you're coming from sight. You know what I mean? And I had to coach her and say, listen, it doesn't work like this. I need you to remove that from your mindset, because even though you don't have the experience, right, you can absolutely speak to you. She was able to speak to everything, all the experience that I needed her to do, because not only was she doing the job, but she's here doing certifications and here taking extra courses and things like that. I was like, you can speak to it. You may not have done it, but theoretically, you know what needs to be done.
Right.
Not only did she get the job, you know, I was able to coach her in an interview. Not only did she get the job, but she is one of the hiring manager called me and was like, she is one of the best people. She is one of the best candidates you've sent to me.
Look at that.
And it was because, you know, this is why I say, in order for me to help, because you have to be willing to be helped, right? She was willing to be coached. She was willing to be helped. And we were able to get her not just 100,000, but we were able to get her 110. But she made that big jump just because, you know, she said, you know what? You're right. I shouldn't have to be paid less, you know, just because, you know, of my side experience, when I know the work, I know the job, I know, you know, she knows it. I was like, girl, you got it. You got this. You got this.
Right.
So it's funny because we keep in touch still, and she's been promoted 2 times since then.
That's amazing. Good for her.
You know, yeah, I'm very proud. She's one of my proudest candidates. Yeah.
Right.
One of my proudest
Because somebody took the coaching and you were able to help them through that limiting belief, because like we were talking about in the beginning, women need to start advocating for themselves in this way, right? That we need to start really understanding that we bring a lot of value. And even if you don't know everything in the job description, because girl, some of these job descriptions, sometimes I look at them and I'm like, wait, why do we have 3 paragraphs of your job, like with the qualifications you need somebody to have? You know damn well we don't come in with all of that experience. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of ridiculous, quite frankly. It's like 5 roles into one. Yeah.
Yeah. And I have to say about this job description, because I've been coaching a lot of people about this. We're in this market now where everybody's getting laid off. So a lot of people are very frustrated. It's a very trying time for a lot of people who are not, you know, unemployed and everything. So there's been a lot of frustrations, and I've had to coach people through this. Like, you know, I've always worked at global companies since pretty much the beginning of my career. So in global companies, like even when I was a recruiting coordinator and recruiting operations project manager, like there was always a standard job description template that recruiters are not allowed to edit, right? Because the company wants to make sure that all their messaging, all everything is very consistent every single time you put out a job.
Right.
So this means that if I sat down like and my intake call with the hiring manager, I sat down with them and I say, okay, so what are you looking for as far, like, you know, in terms of your candidate, what are you looking for? What skills? Sometimes they'll add on skills, or sometimes they'll remove. They're like, well, I don't care about any of those. I need these. Right. So that makes my job a little bit difficult, because obviously the people that apply, the women that are too busy saying, you know, I don't have these skill sets, I don't have these skill sets, they don't apply. Right.
Right.
And so the ones that take it, you know, box for box, or, you know, there's always like a mix of like people that are not qualified at all, and people that I know that, you know, I've spoken to candidates when they're like, you know, I saw that job, but I didn't apply because, you know, it said it required this, this, and this. I said, do me a favor, apply anyway. I had to do a lot of sourcing because of this, because some hiring managers had different requirements. So all that to say that, you know, screw the job description, apply anyway, you know? I actually had another woman tell me, but what if I get hired and I can't keep up with the job requirements?
And perform,
I said, well, if you got hired, you're qualified. Like, hiring managers are not that stupid. Like, they're not that stupid, okay? Like,
right.
Like, if you got hired for a job, there was something about you that hiring managers were like, she can do the job. You can do it. You know, you're self-projecting.
Yeah.
I just want women to stop self-rejecting. So
I love that you said that. No, I love that you said that, because the truth is, you know, when I was hiring people, I had a team of like 20 people under me, right? I had to be very strategic about who I was hiring, that I thought, you know what? She doesn't have the skill, but she's so teachable, because just in the interview process,
yeah,
I knew that she was. And also like looking at the resume and how long she was somewhere, or how long they were there, how long they showed up, like all that kind of stuff, right? And then I was like, you know, I could teach them that. That's not a hard skill. I can teach them that.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
And I think I want people to understand that when we're thinking about this as directors and VPs and whatever have you, we're also thinking it is cheaper. It is to hire you, train you on the things maybe that you don't know, than to hire you just because, and then keep firing and hiring and letting go and hiring and revolving doors. That's expensive.
It's very expensive.
So to Sasha's point, if somebody hired you, it's because you are already qualified and they know that they can teach you the rest.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
But we always like log ourselves off before. I mean, this is the same thing with the women I work with coaching. I'm helping them build coaching businesses. And before they know it, they're already like signing themselves off. Like, oh, I don't think I could do that. Girl. Yes, you can. We just have to go step by step. Stop trying to do everything. Let's just start in step one, you know? And then after they're with me for a while, they're like, oh my God, I could totally do this. I'm like, yes, you can totally do this. So I love that you talked about that. And you talk about aligning, like how these women should align their values, right? You were talking about them.
Exactly.
With the career and all that kind
exactly.
of stuff. And I know you emphasize that's really important. So how do we do that? Like, how do these, like, they're professional women, right? And they want to do this. So how do they you have this professional pinpoint and then integrate that with their core values? Because a lot of times I think that's where we get lost in the sauce. Like, right? Like women have all these professional ambitions, but they also have these core values. And now what I'm finding, and I know you're finding this as well, is that more and more people are wanting to find jobs that align with their values. They don't
yes.
just want a job anymore. They really, but to your point, especially if you're not desperate.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So how do they do that? Like, how can they like figure out if they're, you know, their ambitions align with their values?
I work on intuitive development a lot. I'm an intuitive, and I believe that intuition is a very underrated gift that we all have, right? Some are more stronger than others, but if every single day your intuition is kind of like ringing at you, right? Like, you know, you find yourself always thinking like, wouldn't it be nice if this can happen? Or, you know, if you're getting at the pit of your stomach, you're getting some sort of feeling about like, you know, this doesn't feel right to me. This isn't, you know, working till 5, 6 o'clock and, you know, leaving my kids in after school care every single day doesn't feel good to me.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel good
yeah.
to me, right?
Yeah.
You know, working, you know, all types of hours, but then getting past, like, it doesn't feel good to me, right? So, you know, we have to, I think the reason why we're so willing to always bypass our values for what we need to do is because there's a lot of social conditioning that we have to kind of tear apart, right?
Yeah.
So we have to really sit down, like, what am I doing this for? What do I really want? Like, what do I see myself in 5 years, right? If I see my children happy, I see myself happy, you know, like, what is it? What is it that drives you that, you know, and I get it. Look, I am not, you know, because there might be some women that are going to say, well, you know, you're privileged enough to do that, or, you know, you have the ability to do that. You know, I get that. You know, I myself was in a position many, many years ago where, you know, I had to do things that had to do what I had to do, but I also had a plan to get myself out of it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I always set a plan for myself, like, okay, this is my 6 month, you know, in 6 months, I'm going to do myself a check-in. We're going to see where I am from there. The problem is we end up staying stuck in a job forever.
Yep.
and fearing the change, right? So if you like ask yourself, what am I doing this for? You know, what am I doing this for? How is this going to move the needle for the things that I want to do? Right. If it's because if it's anything like, you know, I had another conversation with a mom group because one of them, she asked me, she's like, I'm actually in a good place in my life. You know, I have great work-life balance. I have, you know, the career that, you know, that I'm getting paid what I want, things like that. But it's almost like I'm always itching for more. I'm always itching to grow. And it makes me feel guilty because, you know, if I take on more or if I do more, if I get promoted, if I do this, if I do that, you know, my kids are going to suffer. And then, you know, I'm not going to be there for my kids. I'm going to be overworking. So I asked her, I was like, so why do you feel the need? What is it that it makes you feel? When you like say to yourself, what is it that you're going to need? What is it that you're going to get? What is it that you feel that you're going to get from that? And she said, well, you know, it is nice because some of my friends, you know, and she'll go into that. Some of my friends do this and some of my friends do that. And
that's it,
you know,
girl. Like, that's it. It affects all of us, no matter what age you are.
So this is why you have to, you know, and it really doesn't feel good, right? Like, you know, even for her, she says, I don't feel good when I'm overdoing or overworking, but like, I feel like I have to.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I asked her, I said to her, you know, you really have to get clear on why you're doing, like, what is your why, right? I can tell you for myself, I realized that I was an overachiever because when I was younger, in order to get attention from my mom, I had to perform. I had to be perfect. I had to, because, you know, I'm a Latina. My mom is Dominican. Like, I only heard my mom when she was yelling at me about something I did. Right?
So, like, girl, yes. That's Puerto Rican too, girl.
Yeah. So, like, you know, so when I was only hearing the bad, 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 you know, I wanted to hear the good. And so I would perform. And so I would, you know, I graduated with, you know, pretty much honors. Like, I was always putting a lot of pressure on myself in high school, you know, making sure that I was always perfect with my grades and always made sure that I was perfect in everything I did. And it caused a lot of anxiety in me. It caused a lot of anxiety in me. So once I realized, I said to myself, you know, once I really took a hard look at myself and wrote everything down. And I said, why am I really doing this for? Like, what am I striving so hard for? You know, I kept hearing my inner child telling me, because you want validation, because you want, you know, you want to be, you want approval. You want the love that you didn't get. So, you know, these are from my ladies and I'm a very ambitious person. So I always want my, my women to go do what they want to do. But if it doesn't feel good, stop doing it.
Yeah. Give yourself permission to just stop.
Yeah. If you want to go ahead and conquer the world, I know what that feels like. I would go ahead and conquer the world. But if it doesn't feel good when you're doing it at the end of the day after that, you really need to, you know, really take a hard look at what is driving it.
Yeah.
I hope that all makes sense. I know
it does, because it's a lot of our old belief systems, right? It's the same thing. I'm a high achiever as well. I have to be perfect and all that great stuff. And it was because I didn't want to be like my mom at all, right? And you know, growing up in the projects and all that kind of stuff, like I didn't want to be that. And then I had a kid early. I had my kid at 15 years old and everybody told me, you're wasted your life. You're not going to amount to anything, blah, blah, blah. So of course I now had to prove that I could, right? And it just became like a lifetime constant. I have to be perfect about everything. I got to make the six figures. I got to make this happen, blah, blah. And I still find myself doing that. Sometimes those old behaviors and patterns where I'll work 14, 15 hour days for 7 days straight, you know? And I'm like, Nina, what are you doing? What are you doing? Let's check that, because I need to start, you know, because it's a lifetime learning process, right, Sasha? So let's talk about what it is that you do right now with women. And like, what does that look like for somebody who's listening right now that is like, oh my God, Sasha's speaking my language? What does that look like to work with you?
Yeah. So right now I am building my program. I am sort of building. So I am working with some clients and a very beta format, if you will. I'm sort of building along with them. And
I love one that. That's the way you should do it.
Because, you know, I want to build it with my clients in mind. I don't want to build something that I'm like, oh, I think is okay. I think is good. I want my clients to have the ability to have a say and, you know, the program that they're going to be getting into. So, you know, it's definitely a few phases right now that we, you know, we've sort of been able to build. So there's two sort of like routes that I'm going to take, right? One for my job seekers, the ones that, you know, are in roles that they feel like they're being underpaid. They feel like they're being passed up for promotions. They feel like, you know, I'm done. I'm ready. Like, you know, I either want to get promoted from here or like I need to figure it out. Right. So at that point I'm building a program where I'm helping them the first order of business with everything. I have something called the Aligned Alchemy System or the Aligned Alchemy Method, where we really get to the root of everything. Just like I was telling you here, really get to the root of your why, really get to the root of, do a little bit of intuitive development so you can make, conscious decisions about your career and not society, this is what society expects of me, or this is what my mom expects. No. Intuitive development is like, you know, we're talking about what you want, right?
That's right.
Nothing else, right? Definitely getting clear and aligning and alchemizing. I love gold. So when I always think that, you know, gold is because to make gold, you need certain circumstances and, you know, you need the right temperature, you need the right time, you need the right skills. And so for me, building a career is like alchemizing to me. How do we alchemize? How do we turn your career into gold? Right. So, we're building it a little bit. I don't have the full scope, but right now I'm getting a lot of results, and I'm so far I have been able to collect some testimonials, so I'm really excited about it.
Good. And also remember that you're never going to have the full scope as you keep growing and expanding and moving and different women, and your program's always going to grow, but you already have enough evidence, right? Because you've helped so many women in your career.
Yes.
Right. So yeah.
And that's also a limiting belief of mine when I first started. It's like, well, I don't have clients. And I had one. I wish I would have met you years ago, Nina, because the one coach said, well, you were a recruiter this whole time, don't you? I was like, you're right. I had so many people I worked with. I had
so many clients.
I had hiring managers. Those were my stakeholders, you know, my stakeholders. So you're right. And then on the other side of the token, it's more, I'm also building a program for women that are not necessarily looking to look for another job or anything like that, but they want to grow based on their own values, right? Like they, you know, women that don't necessarily want to buy into the hustle culture. They just want to be able to provide. So, you know, we help them kind of align with themselves and growing corporate in a way, because we all know that corporate can be a very soul sucking place.
Yeah, it could be.
I love corporate. I love corporate. I'm not a corporate hater. Corporate has been amazing to me, but
me too.
You know, if we have to say the truth, like, you know, for people that are conscious, for people that are aware, for people that are intuitive, empaths, it can be a little bit of a hard place to navigate. And so I'm also helping one woman that. So we're building. It's all coming soon.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And at the, you know, for now, I'm writing, you know, all of my experiences and all of the tips and tricks that I've learned throughout the 13 years and my blog, The Corporate Glow Up. So,
let's talk about that. So how does somebody find you, the Corporate Glow Up? Like, how do they sign up for that? Like, give us all that.
So the Corporate Glow Up, thecorporateglowup.com. So once you get in there, you'll be able to, you know, the first thing you'll see is like a field for you to sign up. And every single week, and I like Wednesdays because I'm also very spiritually aligned. Like I'm into astrology, anything metaphysical. So I believe Wednesdays are great for communication, and because it's ruled by Mercury. Anyway, for those that, if you know, you know, Every week on a Wednesday, I am plugging away and sending my subscribers, some exclusive tips, from a recruiter's perspective on how can navigate. So I like to say that the corporate glow up is sort of like a cheat code, like the cheat codes to growing corporate.
That's awesome.
I guess, if you will. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's good. Because I think, that's one of the things, like we said in the beginning, like women really need to know that. They need to know that they are needed, that they are valued, that they are wanted, and that they have the skill sets to do this. They really, really do. And some of the women are done. Like some of the women are done with corporate, right? Alexa's about to go off. Hold on. Sorry about that. Okay. So that was towards the end. So I'll fix that. So I totally get that. And I'm really glad that there's people like you that really help them, navigate what that means, because I'm like you, I'm on the other end of it. I'm helping women build coaching businesses where you're really helping women in their corporate space and who they are in their career and moving forward, intuition, all that kind of great stuff, right? And I'm like you, where I don't want a woman left behind. I just don't want a woman left behind. And I also want us to own our shiznick. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Own it. If you are not where you want to be, you have to take yourself to the place you want to be. Nobody's going to come rescue you. There's not something happening. You know what I'm saying? Nobody's knocking at your door saying, I got the answer. That's not going to happen. You have to get yourself moving forward. Now, I believe in God. I have faith, all of those things. And I do believe in leaning in prayer. That's just how I am. And I do believe that those things do align you better, because I believe that spiritually we are spiritual beings. And I believe that those type of things are real.
Exactly.
However, I don't think Jesus is going to be knocking on my door today saying, hey, got this job for you. Let's go. You know what I'm saying? So we need to really step into faith and step into moving forward and be bold, and just know that if they say no, good. Go to the one that says yes, right? So if you're giving a number, to Sasha's point, and you're thinking, oh, it might be too high. So they're going to just counteract you if they want you. All they're going to do is come back and give you another number.
Yep.
Corporates will always start at the lower end, everyone. They always start at the lower end. So meet them somewhere in the middle. And if they see the value in you, like what happened to me is I got promotion after promotion after promotion.
Yeah.
Because once they saw that, they were like, oh, wait, we can't lose her. You know what I mean? So you make yourself invaluable. That's what you do. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. And for myself, like when the way I was able to negotiate my, going from the recruiter role, I ended up landing a project manager role for DEI recruitment. Right. And, which is all the rave right now, sarcasm included. I was able to sit there and say, no, I have been able to achieve X, Y, Z. And you've explained, that's another reason why I ask them in the interviews, I say, what are the challenges that you want this role to overcome? Like, what are the challenges that you want this role to work on?
I love that question.
So by the end,
that's a great question.
Yeah. Because you want to get smart. At the end, you want to tell them when it's negotiation time, you say, well, in our conversation, you told me you had these challenges that you want this person to, and this incumbent to fix or to do or to work on. Right. I can do those things. And I have been able, these are the ways that I have been able to do this in the past.
Right.
You know, like you basically are telling them, like, I am worth my weight in gold and this is what I'm looking for. So, don't falter in it, because at the end of the day, they're always going to expect you to negotiate. Like a good company is always going to expect you to come back and negotiate. So definitely take them up on an offer. Don't just tell them, don't just let them give you a number.
That's it. Yeah, I agree. I love it. Love that all day. So Sasha, it's the corporateglowup.com, right? And how do people follow you or find you? Where do they find you?
LinkedIn is my number one place. Obviously, I don't know. Maybe it's the HR recruiter thing. I'm biased about it, but I have been using LinkedIn since like forever because of my HR and recruiting background. So like LinkedIn is the first place. I actually just started dabbling in Threads, and I'm realizing that, you know, it's a really cute little community that I'm
I don't know it yet, but I've been trying to, and I'm like, oh, this is kind of cool. Okay. I gotta learn it. Yeah.
Yeah. Sasha Elizovsky on LinkedIn, and then on Threads, you can find me Sasha, the career coach. But yeah, love I'm it. There. You can find me, thecorporateglowup.com. You'll be able to find me.
All right. Thank you so much for hanging out with me on Street Talk. It was fun.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
And I kept
it.
You overtime, so I'm sorry about that.
I didn't even realize we were having a conversation.
Right. I just love it. Guys, thank you so much for hanging out with us. When I have a good conversation or I love somebody's energy, you know this happens. This happens, y'all. I'm sorry. This happens. Okay, we went overtime. But make sure that you follow Sasha. I'm going to link all of her information below. And I want to make sure that all of you who are listening, especially those of you who are either in corporate or thinking about getting in corporate, maybe you're even thinking about transition from corporate, right? Mm-hmm. How do you actually do that? Well, I think Sasha may be your girl. So I'm going to make sure to link all that information so that you can speak with her and actually have a conversation where you can give yourself permission to actually know who you are, step into who you are, and actually respect who you are. And what I mean by that is that you show up for you. You show up mm-hmm. for you, because regardless of what people say or what the number says at the corporate level or blah, 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 I actually feel like that's just talk. What you say about you is what people will respect and honor. And if you don't respect and honor you, don't expect them to. Don't get mad at them if they don't, because you didn't do it. All right. Mm-hmm. All right. Sorry. That's a little bit of a hardness at the end. Love you guys so much. This is Nina Perez. This is Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. Until next time.